Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hello, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. It is Wednesday, and that means we're going to continue our series of broadcasts with one of our favorite guests, Maureen Santora. Maureen is an education advocate. She believes that a lot of thinking has to be done about education in our schools today, specifically elementary and high schools. We need to rethink how we're heading and how the conversation is evolving for young people in order for them to be successful in life. Maureen, as you may know, is a powerful advocate for education. She's been a teacher, and she's been this way really her whole life. And she founded the Christopher Santora Educational Scholarship Fund more than 20 years ago, after her son, the firefighter Christopher Santora, lost his life as the result of the events of the attacks of 9/11. And in the intervening years, she has awarded more than $500,000 in scholarships to New York City's elementary, middle school, and high school students. And it continues. The effort continues to help kids. She points out that being an American was always about being concerned for the next generation, and she says we're trying to educate young people to know they can really pursue a wide variety of possibilities in life. And she points out that critical thinking ought to be started in kindergarten. It really doesn't often happen that way, but it should. Just so you know, she's been teaching, by the way, since 1967, but she points out that parents are really still the primary educators of their children. And they do have a right to be involved in and to empower themselves to be actively involved in their kids' education. She has some strong opinions on subjects that are being taught today, not only are being taught, but really, even more important, subjects that are not being taught, and specifically as a tragedy in light of what is going on around the world today, especially when you think of what's happening in Ukraine and the effects it is having literally worldwide. So let's talk to Maureen about this, what her thoughts are. They make an awful lot of sense, and I think you'll agree with her for the most part. Maureen Santora. Maureen, welcome. Nice to have you back with us again today. She, by the way, is based in Long Island City, just outside of Manhattan in New York. How are you? Nice to have you back.
Thank you, Doug. I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad to be talking to you today and to all the listeners, and our world is in just a terrible chaos, and I have been watching the news and watching, you know, what is unfolding in Ukraine, and my heart is breaking. It's just absolutely breaking. And, when I heard the vice president give this very, very simplistic description of what was going on, my heart just broke even more because most Americans, students, especially, don't even know where Ukraine is. They might know, you know, that Russia is on the other side of the ocean, but they don't know specifically what countries border Russia and what countries border Ukraine. And that's really tragic, and it's unacceptable. Years ago, you know, every elementary school teacher was asked to have a current events. And, of course, depending upon the reading level, you determine what newspaper you would read and so forth. But that's not done anymore on a regular basis. And students are not being asked to have an idea of where everything is in the world. You know, we have a president who's a globalist who believes that, you know, the global society is more important than America, and that's an opinion that not everybody shares, including me, but it is his opinion, and he is the president. But they're not teaching the kids about the globalism in our world. You know, if you were asked to have a student ask you where Kenya was, most students would not know. They know it's in Africa, but they don't know where specifically it is.
Right.
That's geography. That's not taught. That's absolutely not taught. We used to have a variety of maps, you know, in the classroom, and I know that there are some classrooms that still do that, but it's not a regular part of the education. My grandchildren, you know about all these things because I'm passionate about history, and I'm passionate about, you know, the world and where the states are and where the various countries are, so they're knowledgeable. But their colleagues, their classmates, don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. And I'm very disturbed that as a society, we are not pushing harder to educate our young people on the world. You know, if you are studying in Europe, you know all about America. You know all about the States. You know all about, we had several exchange students come, you know, when my kids were younger, and they knew more about American history than my kids did. And I was terribly upset about that, and that continues. So we need to do better. We need to do better in educating our young people about our world.
Let me ask you a question. By the way, back off a little bit from your telephone. You're a little bit muffled. You may be talking too close
to it. Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway. I wanted to ask, why do you think that is? I mean, what happened? Why is history as a subject, you know, some areas, some schools do teach a bit of history, but they have a different name for it. They don't call it history. We used to have history and geography courses. And how did that come to stop? You're an educator. Do you know?
I think what happened is that they separated all the subjects. You know, reading is reading. If you are learning to read, you should be able to read in science, in math, in history, excuse me, and that was separated. So reading was only, you know, books and literature.
Right.
It was not
right.
transferred to American history or global studies, which is what they call it now. And, you know, when you get into high school, you have separate subjects. So your high school students are learning, you know, a lot more about the world than your middle or elementary school students. But the elementary school students should have this information. And so should the junior high school students. Now, they also have, you know, separate classes in junior high school in New York City anyway. And they have separate subjects, but it's global studies. So you're not, you know, being specific, and you don't have specific classes on the various parts of the world. And, you know, everybody should be interested in the world. You know, we're a part of the world. We're a community. If something happens like it does in Ukraine at the moment, it affects everybody. And the tragedy of watching the pain and the sorrow is just unforgivable, you know, from everybody's perspective. Nobody can ever support this. But you have to have a knowledge of why this possibly happened and why, you know, history repeats itself over and over and over again. And so if you have a knowledge of history and you've learned about history, you can kind of, in your critical thinking, be able to come up with some reasons that would explain why these atrocities happen. And you would also be able to find ways to correct them immediately and not wait and not say, well, let's wait and see what happens. You know, you would act in a purposeful manner. But, you know, if you don't have the knowledge, you can't make any of these decisions. And when they separated every single class as a separate entity in and of itself and then cross-teach, you know, I think that's how geography and history, you know, fell by the wayside.
Yeah.
You know, my grandchildren would say, well, you know, that's not English, Grandma, or that's not language arts, that's social studies. And I would say, well, actually, they're all connected. They're all connected, you know. But this was a new avenue, I guess, for people to become experts in specific subjects. I don't understand the reasoning behind this, but it happened a long time ago, and it's still continuing. And, you know, if you are an educated person and you are a person that loves to learn, you want to know about your world. You want to know what's happening. Most Americans don't have a clue, and that's unfortunate, but that happens to be true. They're very, very not ignorant, but they're lacking in knowledge regarding what is happening in the world. And we have to care about that. We have to care about that. It is very important, in my opinion, you know, for people to take heart and pay attention and be aware. And you don't need to do this in the extreme, but you need to have the knowledge in order to be able to understand what is going on. So,
you know, it's so true. And I'm interested, and at what an early age you think kids should be, introduced to some of these kinds of subjects? Kindergarten,
well,
obviously,
today we have students who are, starting school at 3 years old. So, you know, you wouldn't necessarily, do anything deep and heavy with a three-year-old or a four-year-old for that matter. But in when you're five, you should have some basic knowledge. The explanation that Vice President Kamala Harris gave to the world about what was happening is appropriate for a five-year-old. It's appropriate for a five-year-old, but it's certainly not appropriate for any adult. And, you start at a basic level. You start at the beginning. Like the World Trade Center, so many times after 9/11, I was told by schools, because I wrote a couple of books and I offered to read them to the students, that it would be too disturbing to children to learn about what happened on 9/11. Well, the fact of the matter is most young children have access to all sorts of media. They have cell phones. They have, the TV. They have all sorts of media opportunities, and they know a lot more than the adults who are telling them that it's too difficult to understand, realize. They understand and they know, and you can explain things to any age in a very simple way without making it scary or particularly disturbing to the child so that he will be terribly afraid. You can explain it in a simple, simple way. And in addition, as you get older in school and you have these individual subjects, a teacher should impart information. Now, it's very difficult as a teacher not to sneak in your opinions, but your opinions should not substitute for information. So if you have an opinion as a teacher, it is your obligation to say, this is my opinion, and you may not agree with that, but this is my opinion, rather than say, this is how we should be thinking. And that is happening in the schools every day throughout the United States, and that disturbs me also, because, I'm a proponent of critical thinking, which is not the same thing as critical race theory. It's not. It is a methodology where there are many, many answers to the same problem, and you learn to be a divergent thinker, and you kind of branch out and brainstorm and find solutions to almost everything. That's a taught exercise, and you start that in early, early grades where kids are being asked to solve a problem, and you try to come up with as many possibilities as possible so that the kids realize that their opinion matters tremendously, and they may have a different opinion than their friend, but that opinion is neither good nor bad. It's a different opinion. So that is not being taught in the schools. And so it's a whole, like a ball of wax, where you have to include everything in order to create a whole person. But I'm very, very disturbed, recently, with the lack of knowledge of this horrific, horrific, situation that we are currently in. And I really believe that it is worth educators' time to make an explanation so that children understand. And if they have not had the pre-knowledge to know where these places are, then it is prudent upon them to show a map and show exactly where these places are and to show the borders and to show, you know, give a little history without their opinions about it. Just give the history so that the kids can kind of figure out what's actually happening here, as we don't know what's going to happen in the future.
You know, these images of what's going on in Ukraine, they're plastered all over television almost constantly now, especially, you know, if you're watching any news broadcast or any of the cable network news broadcasts. Do you think it, for kids who are, you know, are in, let's say they're 6, 7, or 8 years old, is it too early to let them know and give them an idea of what is going on, you know, on the other side of the world or not? Or
no,
should they be shielded
from
that?
Well, first of all, the children are not shielded because it is all around us. And in spite of everybody's effort to shield the children, they are not shielded. And so it is much more prudent to sit down and say, here's the situation. This is, and you know, you might see very graphic or unpleasant sights on the TV, but this is what's really happening. And this is an act of hatred and an act of trying to be the most powerful and take lessons from that so that kids will understand that, you know, this is a bully situation in its purest form. And, you know, this is what happens when you need to cut the bully off. You need to cut him off. You need to, you know, address him. And in your own little life, you may have a bully in the classroom or you may have a bully in the schoolyard. You need to confront the bully, and let's think about ways that we can do that. And so the kids will have a better understanding, but I certainly think that there should be definite, serious discussion in junior high school and in high school about what is going on and to come up possibly with, some suggestions or the kids are not in charge. We're not in charge. The governments are all in charge. But for kids in their learning process, for them to come up with solutions possibly and to find ways where maybe they can help. You know, kids are very, very resilient. We've seen pictures on the TV where kids have made posters and kids have, you know, had cookie sales and kids have done so that they feel a part of the helping end of this. Well, that's important. That's important, but you can only do that if you have the knowledge of what's going on. And I think, you know, our children are much, much smarter than we give them credit for. And especially today when you have all these resources and we are a media universe where, you know, if something happens on the street, there's 20 iPhones that come out and take pictures of what went on and an analysis. Excuse me. And we have this immediate, you know, observation technique that we didn't have when I was a kid. We didn't have that. So we had to rely upon, you know, the adults. But today, you have it immediate. And kids, they have, in high school, they have this TikTok and they have this, different sources where they can get immediate pictures. And so, you know, as much as adults think they should be shielding their kids, they're not shielding their kids because the kids have the information.
That's so true. And in addition, when you really think about it, they're teaching kids today in schools things. When you were teaching, when was the last, I mean, how long has it been? You've been out of the school system, I'm going to guess, 15 years?
I've been out of the school system, about 18 years I've been out.
Yeah. I mean, in your days when you were teaching all through your years, you never had instructions from someone who came into the classroom to teach kids what to do if there were gunshots heard in the school and what they should do, you know? They're being taught that today, and they're doing that for kids in the, you know, in the second, third, and fourth grade who know what to do and what happens. I mean, that's the kind of thing that's it's kind of shattering for some kids, but they're being educated about it. And I also wondered, you know, the question of sex education to very young kids. That's another thing that was that was taboo years ago. I know you never had to deal with that. But in some areas, you know, they're talking about teaching kids as young as, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 years old, all about the LGBTQ community, what it's like for a gay individual, which some of them never heard of, you know. Do you approve of that? Do you think it's too early for that or not? I know it's a controversy. What are your thoughts?
My opinion on the sex education end of this is that the parents are the primary educators. Now, many, many programs have what is called an opt-out. So the parent has to opt out. Otherwise, they're automatically taught in the schools. There should be an opt-in for this instead of an opt-out. In other words, parents have to say, well, I want my child to have this education. And if they don't sign that, the child is excluded. I think parents are the primary educators regarding, sex education. And I certainly think little kids do not differentiate at all, between, boys and girls in their masculinity and femininity. They play, they pretend, they sometimes boys want to be, the princess, and sometimes girls want to be the prince, and sometimes, you know, the girl wants to be the, architect, and sometimes the boy wants to be, you know, the decorator, and all these things are part of growing up. That does not mean that if a little boy wants to be a princess or wants to be a decorator, that he is gay. It doesn't mean that. Little kids don't have that as their preference. They don't care. So I certainly don't think that any little kid under the age of third grade certainly should be taught any kind of sex education. But I also believe that parents should have the right to say, I'm opting out of this program. I don't want my child to learn this. And if that is true, they should not learn it. I have a great deal of difficulty with people being labeled at a very early age. Now, I know, scientifically, there is a certain percentage of people who are have been given more hormones, gender, hormones of the opposite sex than their, their biological sex. I know that that's true, but they are a very, very, very small percentage. And I don't believe that we should be enforcing any kind of ideas on young people at all. I think that is just terrible. And I think being a young child, you are very receptive to your adults and the people that you value and the people that you respect in giving opinions. So we need to be very, very careful and very judicious regarding all of these things. I was trained in sex education in the New York City public schools. They started a program, I'm going to say about 35 years ago. The superintendent ended up leaving his job because it was such a controversial situation. And we had a book. We had a manual. It started in kindergarten, and it was an opt-in program originally, so that parents didn't want, and of course in the kindergarten, you didn't talk at all about sex. You didn't talk at all about sex. You didn't talk, you talk about what kids like to do and kinds of play, and you gave a variety of things. It was a very, very non-sexual program in the early grades. And when you got into fourth grade, you had a serious discussion, and parents had to opt into this program, and I'm sure, that's changed a bit. You know, it's probably an opt-out program, which I think it should not be. But I am not in favor of the teaching of any of this unless the parents have agreed to it. And if they have not agreed to it, their children should not be included in this. And I don't think that it should be rammed down anybody's throat. I think this is a personal choice, and I think that the parents are the ones who make the decision. It's their children. It's their children.
Exactly.
They know their children better than anybody.
For sure.
Better than any administrator, better than any counselor. They know their children better than anybody. And if there is a concern, there are medical doctors that parents can go to, and there are places that they can choose, but they are in control, not the school system. So I'm not in favor of this at all. I think this is terrible, and I'm very disheartened that we would want to push an agenda on our youth when, for the most part, it doesn't come up unless you've pushed it.
Exactly. No. I think most parents would agree with you, Maureen. You know, that's just a fact. There are those, of course, who won't, but everybody is entitled to an opinion. Let me ask you one other thing. We're rolling through the half hour here. Do you recall parents being as interested when you were teaching as to the courses that were being taught, you know, showing up at PTA meetings and arguing a point or two? Or did that not much happen, you know, 20, 25 years ago?
Well, years ago, the teachers were more sacrosanct. You know, they were people who were valued. I was not able in my entire career to ever wear any kind of a religious symbol on my neck, ever. We were not permitted to do that. So none of the children knew if I was religious or not religious, and none of the children knew what my religion was. And that was just part of being a teacher. You were a non-controversial individual who imparted facts and helped to sustain the values that the parents thought were important and you thought were important as well. And today that's no longer true. Teachers are giving opinions that they should not be giving. They're giving attitudes about a number of things that they should not have the right to do. And parents have a right, and I'm very glad they are standing up and they are going to meetings and they are questioning what is being taught, because, again, it's their children. And they need to know that their children are being taught in a constructive, controversial way. And you know, you don't want your child to come home and say, you know, I hate all blah 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 because my teacher said that's absolutely, or I'm a bad person because I'm this color or the other color. That's not education at all. That's opinion based, and that's not what a teacher is supposed to do. So I'm very glad and I'm very proud of the parents, and I think every single parent needs to be involved and know the curriculum. I'm so sorry. You have a lot of allergies here in New York, and I apologize for voice. But I just feel that, you know, I'm proud of the parents that make the effort, and I know it's very difficult, and I know that it takes time, and but they're standing up, and they're supporting their children, and that's what they need to do.
Maureen, thank you so much. We have gone through the half hour. It's good hearing your opinions from a long-time teacher who's been involved in the education field for so many years. Good to hear it. We didn't talk much about the scholarship fund that you do for kids. We'll get into that next time. Maureen will be back again. She's doing a series of broadcasts with us every Wednesday. So join us again next Wednesday at this time, and Maureen will be back with us. By the way, if you have an opinion or you'd like to get in touch with Maureen or let her know what you're thinking on this subject of education in schools today, go to her email. I'll give you her email address. It's Maureen Santora, S-A-N-T-O-R-A, at yahoo.com. Very simple. Maureen Santora at yahoo.com. Maureen, that'll wrap it up for this week. We'll see you back again same time next week, okay?
Will do. Thanks. Doug, have a wonderful
weekend.
Thank you
so much, my dear. Very good. Okay, look forward to you coming back.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.